Of Colossians and Colossians chapter 1, and I've had some questions about what I'm going to talk about this morning, and hopefully maybe this helped, but also it's been on my mind about it. And I want to talk to you about the church, but it's not the body of Christ, and we know that the church is the body of Christ. But let's look at some things in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And of course, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And without Christ's perfect blood shed, there would have been no salvation for us. But he said in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, visible thrones or invisible thrones, whether they be dominions, whether that's visible or invisible, our principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And these principalities, these thrones and dominions and powers, has to do with the governmental structure that God Almighty ordained. For instance, just turn a page down and put your finger there. Come back to Romans and look in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, and that would be in heaven or in earth. For there is no power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And he goes on, he said, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's not damnation in hell, that's destruction. In other words, you go out and you resist law, that you're breaking the law, and the law comes, and the man that's exercising the power there, and you resist that, what's going to happen to you? Well, watch Cops and you'll find out. For the rulers, those that enforce them powers, are not a terror to good works. You do right, they ain't going to bother you. But to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, those that enforce the rules, whatever the power, whatever the office is, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's their job. Come down to verse, because all of this, verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their due tribute to whom tribute is due. And so Paul's saying there, whatever, we're to abide by the powers that be, whether we agree with them or not, because that's, we're to do it. And we pay taxes to support this governmental structure that God ordained. And that's what Colossians 1 he's talking about. For by him, verse 16 back in Colossians there, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things was created by him and for him. And I realize man has come into the scene, and I realize man through his greed has passed legislation to get money out of you and all of that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what man has messed up. I'm talking about what God has ordained and the structures that God has put in place. And we see these powers in our government, our local government, our county officials, a city, all these structures. Man didn't think about and come up with all of that. That's God's structure that he designed in the universe and on this earth. And there are invisible governments and powers out there that he designed. And whatever's on this earth, you bet your little booties, there is a copy. This earth is a copy of what's already out there in the heavens. And so we have officials in high, we call them presidents, kings, princes, whatever. You can bank on it that out yonder in the universe, out there in the heavens, there is a character that's filling them same positions. And that's where Satan and his angels are, and they're running the show. And he's the prince and the power of the air. He's the religious leader of this world, and this world worships him through religion. He's the political leader of this world, and he is in control of the government. And we're in this world, and this world is called an evil world, and he's the God of this world, and on the thing goes. And Paul said, just pray for the leaders that we have, that you might lead a quiet and peaceable life. In other words, stay out of sight. Don't get you a sign and go out here and start picking. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. And just lead a quiet and peaceable life. Do the work of the Lord. That's what a church should do. Okay? Now we have all kinds of guys running around. They got that REV period before their name. Dr. Reverend so-and-so, Reverend Bishop so-and-so, Reverend there, and they ain't none of them as reverent as my dog was. And they always got agenda, and they always got an issue, and they always run around, and they're always campaigning against something somebody's doing, and all that hogwash. You know what God tells you to do? Preach the word. Now, the church. Look in verse down there, verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18. And here's my text verse. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I won't talk to you about the church, but I will talk to you about not just the body of Christ in general. Now, I wrote down some things, and I want to give you, first of all, the church is made up of all saved people. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of sticker they put on them or name they go under. I don't care about that. I'm not talking about denominations right now. I'm talking about those people that have trusted Christ as their Savior. They looked at the cross. They've seen that Jesus Christ died on that cross for their sins. And they trusted that. And they believe that God raised Him the third day for their justification. They're trusting in the fact that He died, He was buried, and is raised the third day. And they believe that He died for their sins. He's their sacrifice. They're dependent upon that. Okay? I believe anybody like that, whether that's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, I don't care. Name it, don't matter. If they're trusting in the gospel, if they're trusting in what Christ did for them on the cross, then God Almighty's Holy Spirit has baptized them or identified them into the body of Christ, and they're in the church. And so this church is made up, and Christ is the head. And this church, no matter what, there's only one way that you can get into this church. Look back in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, you don't join this church. You don't accumulate knowledge to get in this church. In this church is saved individuals. They're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. They didn't earn it. They didn't do nothing to gain it. They're in here. And this church, one door, one way. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Notice in verse 6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His promise in Christ by what? Well then, what is the only way to get into that church? It would be by the gospel. I mean, there is no other way. That's the only way that you can get into this body, into this church, is by the gospel. But, look in the Bible. Notice what He says, and let's try this. So, I believe that all saved is in the body, but I don't believe that all that's in the churches, and remember, I just put an S on it, is in the body. Y'all, didn't you catch what I said? All saved is in the church, but not all that's in the church is saved. Let's look at it. Turn with me and let's try some things. Come over with me to Acts and look in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. You see, folks, I believe in a local church. I believe that there are local churches. You know what the word church means? Called out assembly. We call this charity, Bible, what? Church. Well, we're in the body of Christ, but we're not all the body of Christ. You follow me? We're not the body of Christ here, and down the road somewhere there's another body of Christ and another body of Christ. How many bodies are there? One. And so we have an assembly here, and assembly is a church. Now look at the thing in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. All right, notice what he says. It's Paul confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every what? Well, now does that, you reckon there's more than one there? I believe the word every would imply that more than one, right? And had prayer with fasting, they commended them to the Lord and of whom they believed. Come down to verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, then there was a church at Antioch, wasn't it? They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Look with me and notice, let's try again, come back to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Now, if God Almighty, if Paul, he went about establishing churches. And when he would establish a church, he would ordain, point, an elder, or whatever, over that assembly. And so, and he would move on. And so, it's obvious that it's important to the Lord. The local church, the local assembly, is something that's important to him. Now look in Acts chapter 11 and notice in verse 26. Acts 11, when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Then the assembly of people is the church. Now we're going to look at that verse a little later on. But come over with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Well, I'll tell you what. Stop at Romans. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Notice in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Come down to verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, assemblies, more than one. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So they had churches, they assembled in houses, that was a church. And there were assemblies everywhere, that was a church. Well, the point I'm trying to get you to see is that the church, it doesn't matter where the assembly is. We have a building, but bless your heart, this building is not the church. The people in the church building is the church. And so they had churches, and some they met in houses. Robbie goes to Asheville. They assemble up there in Asheville on Wednesday nights. That's the church. He has a church in Asheville. Wherever the assembly is, Allen's Bible Class, whatever, it's a church. And it's important to the Lord. People don't realize how important the local church is. That's why some people can take it or leave it. They don't care. It's not a part of their life. And the local church should be the majority part of your life. People talk about, well, I'm saved, love the Lord, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. You don't love the Lord if you don't love the local church. There's people across this nation of ours that does not have the opportunity that you have. They do not have an assembly to go to. There's people right now at this very hour sitting around a table with the husband and the wife and their children, and they're listening to a video or a tape, and that's the only contact with assembly that they have. Now, they could go to some other assembly, but let me tell you something. Let's say that you've got several people say, go to the church of your choice. Go to anywhere. Let's say that there's a restaurant. There's two or three restaurants out here, and some of them is feeding chicken that's raw, and you can get salmonella and all that other poison, and will you recommend that church or that restaurant? You want to take your family and take a chance on eating there and getting sick and dying? You say, no way would I take my family to a place like that and eat. Well, folks, we don't even go if we see cockroaches, amen? Please tell me you don't go to a place that's got cockroaches running everywhere. I don't want to be the pastor of people that eat anything or anywhere. Why, we put that much stock in our own daily food, and yet we allow people to go where they're getting spiritually poisoned and they're getting food that's rotten to the core, and it does not glorify the Lord, it does not exalt Jesus Christ, and they cannot grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're sickly all the time. Church. Look with me in Roma. He said there in the church. So it's not the high building. It can be in a house. Why would you even think about having a church in your house? Would you? Now why wouldn't you? You have this. Do you know how important this is? I hope after we get done. Look with me again and look at why you're there. Come over with me to 1 Corinthians. Just looking at some things about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Well, that has to be a local assembly. He's writing to the church at Corinth. Look with me, and let's try it again. Come over, and I don't have time to run all the references, but come over to Colossians. I should have had you to go ahead and look in Galatians. Stop off at Galatians first. Go back there. Verse 2, and all the brethren, Galatians chapter 1, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, more than one. There was church assemblies all over the place. Come over with me too and look in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Salute the brethren which are at Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. And that ye likewise read the epistle from the Laodicea. I mean, folks, there was sending different epistles around to different assemblies. There's more than one. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. There is more than one assembly. Now look back with me in Corinthians, and here's what I'm going to, and notice what about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, tell me something. There must have been some people in the church at Corinth that didn't believe in the resurrection, right? Well, can you be saved and not believe in the resurrection? There's some people in there that was not saved, but they were in the assembly. That's what I'm trying to say. Folks, all the saved is in the body of Christ, but everybody that's in the local assemblies is not saved. But that assembly is so important to the Lord, it's like a temple. Looking back in chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now watch it. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are, collectively. The temple, look at it. You say, well, that's the body. Is your body holy? Let's see if it is. Turn to Romans, back to Romans chapter 7. Hang on to Corinthians. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of what? You have a body of death? Look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20, Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our what? Is it a vile body? Is it a body of death? Would you say it's holy? Now it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the new creation, the new creature that you are when you trusted Christ and the Spirit of God is in that, is that new man where the Spirit of God dwells is housed in that body that you walk around in. But Paul said here in 1 Corinthians again, he said, know ye, collector, that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's in chapter 1, verse 22. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So his body. Now look in chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, which would be all of them. and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. That be the all the buildings growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Now watch it. In whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, folks, when you come together, it's like a spiritual building in here, and that's where God is in this church, in this assembly of those that are saved. And it's something that's holy. It's something that's that God, He delights in. And we take it for granted. Now quickly, it's the assembly, it's the place. It's a place of gathering. It don't matter about the building. The building can be anywhere. The purpose of it. Look back in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11. Why does God put emphasis on this all through the Bible, the purpose of the church? We come together. Number one is to teach people. Look what he said in verse 26. In 11:26, he says there, and when they had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass the whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Folks, it's a place to teach. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Notice in Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Paul telling these people at Ephesus, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Didn't matter what the building was, it's where the assemblies gather. That's the church. And there's no set number to have a church. Look down with me, come on down. He said, wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. What's the purpose of us coming together in assembly? It's to teach, and to teach the church of God is to feed the church of God. This is where you come to get your spiritual food. This is where you come together to learn what God would have you to know about His Word and how you to live. I'm not the dictator. I'm not here to rule over you with a rod of iron. I am here to instruct you in the ways of the Lord. It's up to you. But a church is to be a place where people come together and is taught and they're fed from the Word of God. And a church that doesn't do that is not worth the salt that it takes to go in a piece of light bread. People today's looking for social fun. They're looking for a club organization. They're looking for entertainment. They don't want to be bored with much reading and scriptures. That's not a church. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth. This is where you come to get truth. Pilate said, "What is truth?" Jesus answered it in John 17, "Thy word is truth, the word of God. Let every man be a liar, but God be true." Where do I find truth? I find it in the word of God, rightly divided. But people don't want to rightly divide this Bible. That takes a little brain power. The church is, the purpose is to teach. To be taught is to be fed. Look over with me. Let's try. Look in another way. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 is a good one. Thank God we have a place to meet. But it would just be as important to the Lord if we was meeting in our old store building somewhere. Don't get caught up in the building. Get caught up in what's in the building. The holy temple of the Lord, the body of Christ. We're in the body of Christ. We're a church. We're the local church. We're to come together and fellowship together. And if you're saved, you should have that desire to fellowship with one another. And if you don't, there's something wrong. Well, the Bible says we're called into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think my hand can't fellowship with the rest of my body? Well, if it couldn't, I'd be walking around smacking myself all the time. My hand don't want to create no pain to the rest of the body. That's why we're to be hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're to love one another. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to have fellowship one with another. We're to treat all people are the same. Amen. No big I's and little U's in here. That's not fellowship. I appreciate Brother Winston. I read you that passage in Romans 13, tribute where tributes due. You know, one thing, there's a lot of things, not just one thing about him that I appreciate. But if you ever got close to him when you was coming in and he don't shake your hand, there's something wrong. You probably got something on your hand. And I appreciate that. What's wrong in acting like you're glad to see somebody? Say, well, I might not be glad. Well, lie about it. Put a smile on your face. Act like you're glad to be here. Fellowship one with another. Love one another. Your children ought to be brought up in an atmosphere at the church house of love and enjoying the Word of God rightly divided. You have a blessing here and we take it for granted. Well, I'll go if I ain't got something more important to do. This should be the most important thing to do today. Look in Colossians chapter 3. How do we teach the Word, we teach the name. But look in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called into one body. And be ye thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now watch it. Teaching and admonishing. That word admonishing, it's lifting up, it's admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Does that sound like somebody eating briars? That sounds like somebody that's happy, doesn't it? That sounds like somebody that's thankful for what the Lord has done for them, and they're glad to be here. I'm glad to come today. I'm glad to hear the Word of God rightly divided. I'm glad to see you, Sally. I'm glad to see all of you. I'm
appreciate all of you. It's a wonderful time to come on Sunday morning and to come together and just to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ and sing together and enjoy the Lord and what He did for us. Thank God for the local church.
We have a great opportunity. We come here to get fed. We come here to teach one another and admonish one another and lift one another up and exhort one another with our songs. Don't worry about carrying a tune. That verse didn't say nothing about it. You could sing. I can't sing. I couldn't carry a tune in a 5-gallon. June tells me all the time I have no rhythm. I got a banjo, but I don't have the rhythm. I can't get it going. So don't worry about whether you carry a tune or not. Just be glad you're here. We need the church. People today don't feel like they need it. They take it for granted. And a church is a place for service. I read to you about Phoebe. She was a servant. We come here to serve. How do we serve? We serve in our spirit. What is our motive for service? What He done for us. Why should we? Paul said, I'm a debtor. There are people going to hell. And we have the message to give them that can give them eternal life. We have a privilege to get the gospel out to people, to our families, our loved ones. We have a place where we can come, get in out of the cold, out of the hot, out of the rain, and come in fellowship. Don't be ashamed of your church. Don't quit loving your church. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the church that's in the building. And every one of you have the same care, bearing one another's burdens for the cause of Christ. And God will honor us. And God will give us praise. You know, I was reading over there where Robbie was, and I'm going to read that and I'm going to close when he was reading in Isaiah. In fact, turn over there. In Isaiah 61. You know, I got to thinking about it, and I went back and looked in Isaiah 59, too. We'll look at that. You'll see your influence. We have an influence in the community. And God's going to hold us accountable. You see, the danger of knowing right division is the more light you have, the more responsibility you have. And we have a responsibility, Paul said, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And he said, David said, is there not a cause to be fighting this battle? Well, there's a cause. I want to see people saved. And I want to see the saved come unto the knowledge of the truth. I want to feed them and so that they'll know what they have in Christ like you know what you have in Christ. But look in Isaiah 59 first. He talks about in verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar, for truth is fallen in the street. And folks, you've got to admit that there's no truth being preached today on the airwaves and around in our churches today. You can't hardly hear the cross being preached without something being added to it, and it makes it of none effect. And Paul calls them enemies of the cross when they add something to it. But he said in verse 15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. That's a Christian. And the Lord saw it and displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance and for clothing, clad with a zeal as a cloak. Folks, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the body of Christ there. You understand that? That's the armor that Paul talks about you putting on. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. He's the intercessor. You know who's the intercessor today? It's the body of Christ. Who's keeping the wrath of God, the vengeance? He ain't got the clothes yet as the garments of vengeance, but he's got, no doubt he's putting them on. We are. We're keeping the wrath of God off of this place. We're standing in the gap. Well, watch this thing. Look in 61. Now will verse 10, he said, and I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth himself with her jewels. You know what I think that is? I think that people talk about us being the bride. Folks, we're the groom. We're the body of Christ. And you know, I believe that those jewels that the Lord has decked himself, his body, is the individual members that are saved by grace. We're the jewels of the Lord. Clothed. I mean, folks, you're precious. You know that? All of us are. Well, love you, church. Support it. Give to it. And help us to get the word out and the gospel and be faithful to it. And I believe the Lord will bless you for it. Shake hands with